Good evening, Ava. It is Thursday, July 16, 2026, and today's signal is bigger than another model launch. The AI trade is becoming a capital allocation trade. Debt supply, power, permitting, utilization, and the ability to turn physical infrastructure into cash returns.
Exactly. And the evidence comes from 9 podcasts with 9 full transcripts inside the verified 24-hour window. We are starting with markets and macro, then moving through technology, policy, and the cross currents. The discipline today is to separate fresh information from replay era forecasts and speaker reported claims.
On Morgan Stanley's thoughts on the market, credit strategist Andrew Sheets described annual hyperscaler investment of roughly $470 billion in 1 year and $620 billion in the next, with about half potentially funded through debt markets. Important caveat before we touch the numbers, the recording identifies its original date as November 21st, so this is a replay era forecast, not a fresh July 2026 estimate.
Right. But on thoughts on the market, the mechanism still matters. This is not primarily a default risk warning. The large technology issuers have cash flow, high ratings, and borrowing capacity. The risk is market clearing price. When several enormous, highly rated deals arrive with new issue concessions, a discounted AA bond can make an existing single A bond look expensive. That can widen comparable spreads even when nobody thinks the borrower is about to fail.
Which changes how investors should frame AI financing. On thoughts on the market, Sheets' setup implies an unusual concentration of supply from one sector. If investors must absorb hundreds of billions of dollars of debt, capital can be diverted from other investment-grade issuers. The catalyst is the cadence and pricing of the next hyperscaler bond deals. The falsifier is persistent oversubscription with no meaningful pressure on secondary spreads.
And on TBPN, the tape gave that question an equity expression. The host said TSMC paired strong results with another $100 billion of planned United States investment, while the Nasdaq fell about 1% as investors focused on overspending risk. The important expectations gap is that physical AI demand remains enormous, but incremental capex is no longer rewarded automatically.
That is the heart of today's investment view. On TBPN, the market reaction suggests the question is shifting from, is AI demand growing? Two, who earns an adequate return on the next dollar? For TSMC, customer commitments, utilization, and Arizona ramp economics now matter as much as the headline size of the build. Strategic urgency is not the same thing as shareholder return.
On capital allocators, Frank Danieli of MA Financial offered the private market version of the same capital discipline problem. He described an Australian credit platform with about 60% in asset-backed facilities, 20% in direct asset lending, and 20% in corporate lending. That is a very different mix from the common American shorthand of private credit as sponsor-backed direct lending.
On capital allocators, Danieli also described why the Australian structure can scale. Australia has an approximately $4 trillion Australian superannuation pool, with about 3/4 institutional and roughly $1 trillion self-managed. MAS lending infrastructure touches around 350,000 customers and $8 to $10 billion of monthly loan flow. The claimed advantage is proprietary origination and data, not simply a willingness to charge a high coupon.
But on capital allocators, the warning was more useful than the growth pitch. Danieli said concentration can masquerade as security selection. Many lenders independently decided that high margin, recurring revenue software was safe, only to create correlated exposure, just as cloud and AI disruption changed the underwriting premise. 30 different software loans are not true diversification if one technological shock hits all 30.
His answer, as described on capital allocators, is process. MA diversifies across 38 lending subsectors, separates investment teams from portfolio managers, runs red team reviews and quarterly recession war games, and checks credit risk, structure risk, and fraud risk independently. Danieli said red team work changes deal structure about 25 to 30% of the time, while only 5 to 10% of screened deals survive the funnel.
And the falsification test from capital allocators is liquidity. Private loans can sit in a defensive allocation only if investors accept that the underlying assets are not daily liquid. If a portfolio promises instant liquidity against loans that cannot be sold without a discount, the mismatch is not a footnote. It is the risk.
On monetary matters, Moritz Seibert and Moritz Heiden of Takahe Capital took us from credit underwriting to trend following. They reported longs in gold, silver, platinum, petroleum, most equity markets, copper, and bean oil, shorts in Bitcoin, Ethereum, cocoa, coffee, and United States natural gas, and mixed bond and foreign exchange books. Those are guest-reported positions, not independently verified holdings.
On monetary matters, the real differentiation was their willingness to target about 25 to 30% annualized volatility versus roughly 8 to 12% for many institutional trend products. They do not automatically shrink a winning position just because its volatility rises. That preserves the positive skew of an outlier trend, but it also guarantees that investors will experience painful givebacks before an exit.
Their cocoa example on monetary matters makes that tangible. A move from roughly $2,500 to $13,000 per ton can create an extraordinary winner, but a trend system must tolerate noise and surrender part of the game to know when the trend is actually over. The portfolio lesson is not to copy today's commodity book. It is to judge the mechanism across many markets and cycles rather than abandon it after one ugly drawdown.
On excess returns, Jack Forehand and Matthew Ziegler distilled Jack Schwager's interviews into the discretionary counterpart. Reassess each position as if you were initiating it today. When uncertainty is genuine, reduce exposure in increments rather than freeze. Define the exit before sizing the trade. And do not mistake money management for an investment edge.
On excess returns, Schwager's illustrative maximum risk was 1 to 2% of assets per position. But the crucial sequence is that position size comes last. Entry price, invalidation level, and permitted portfolio loss determine the share count. A round number chosen first is not risk management, it is a preference looking for justification.
The shared market signal from capital allocators, monetary matters, and excess returns is pre-commitment under uncertainty. Daniele uses structural diversification and red teams. Takahe uses simple price rules across many markets. Schwager uses predefined invalidation and sizing. None of them claims perfect foresight. Their advantage is a process that remains survivable when foresight fails.
Let us move to technology. On TBPN, the hosts analyzed Thinking Machines Lab's first model, Inkling, described as a 975 billion total parameter mixture model with about 41 billion active parameters. The interesting part is not only scale. TBPN's product framing is that Inkling can be valuable without being the best general model if it fine-tunes efficiently through Thinking Machines' Tinker API.
On TBPN, that architecture turns open weights into a complement to a paid workflow. Customers get more control and less lock-in, while Thinking Machines can monetize the managed fine-tuning layer. But TBPN also challenged any clean claim that the model was free of distillation, because the launch materials reportedly acknowledged supervised fine-tuning on synthetic data from open-weight models, including Kimi K2.5.
So on TBPN, the test is adoption, not launch day rhetoric. Watch Tinker usage, license terms, inference economics, independent coding benchmarks, and third-party fine-tuning results. The thesis fails if real-world uptake is weak or if distillation dependence and inference cost erase the claimed differentiation.
On the A16Z podcast replay from 2025, David Sachs, Mark Andreessen, and Ben Horowitz made the strategic case for American open source. Sachs argued that open models preserve software freedom, on-premise control, and a competitive fallback if closed model markets consolidate. He also argued that restrictive export policy can push non-Chinese countries toward Huawei and Chinese technology ecosystems.
And we should label that correctly. On the A16Z podcast, this was an explicitly political, pro-administration argument from a replayed conversation, not neutral current status reporting. The useful read-through is the policy priority, more domestic energy and infrastructure, wider distribution of the United States technology stack to allies, and open-source alternatives as industrial policy.
On Latent Space, Andy Beam and Rafa Gomez-Bombarelli pushed the infrastructure thesis into scientific discovery through Lila Sciences. Their AI science factory is effectively a data center made of lab instruments. A reasoning model proposes an experiment, calls instruments through a software layer, receives nature's answer, and trains on the verified trace.
On Latent Space, Lila said it has assembled 10 trillion experimentally verified scientific reasoning tokens and is moving into a 100,000-square-foot facility. That is a different capital stack from a conventional data center, graphics processors, robotics, instruments, reagents, software drivers, and lab space. But the economic logic is familiar. When generic internet data becomes less useful, differentiated capability may depend on owning scarce physical infrastructure and proprietary feedback.
On latent space, the company S design choice is also revealing. Lila prioritizes flexibility and information gain over maximum automation. Sometimes a human arm is the most efficient API implementation. That sounds almost mundane, but it keeps the system focused on experimental throughput and learning rather than on making every physical step look futuristic.
On latent space, Lila reported several proof points, reaching non-human primate data for an in vivo CAR-T program in about 6 months, B-cell depletion it described as superior to the published Capstan reference, untranslated regions with roughly 10 times the expression of Pfizer and Moderna reference sequences, non-platinum group electrocatalyst candidates, and a gas sorption process redesigned from about 1 day per sample to 96 samples per hour.
Those are speaker-reported company claims from latent space, not independently validated outcomes. None equals clinical success or scaled commercial manufacturing. Lila itself acknowledged that only about 5-8% of clinical programs progress from investigational new drug status to approval, and discovery is only one part of the bottleneck. Sim-to-real error, reward hacking, lab safety, manufacturing scale-up, clinical translation, and capital intensity remain the underwriting risks.
On latent space, the business model was compared to a coding assistant for science. Partners pay for platform access and reagents, then share upside on virtual startup programs. The moat would be a reinforcing loop among a broad instrument stack, proprietary verified data, and a general scientific reasoning model. The test is whether independent replication, customer programs, and partner milestones turn technical proof points into economic value.
On the Vergecast, Pangram CEO Max Spiro described the other side of the data problem, authenticating truth. He said Pangram reached a claimed 1 in 10,000 false positive rate, or 0.01%, through active learning. The system searches human writing for borderline examples, asks models to create synthetic mirrors, and learns the subtle choices separating each pair.
On the Vergecast, that design tries to avoid the weakness of old perplexity detectors, which can flag memorized text or simple English and disproportionately harm English language learners. Pangram's own guidance is appropriately cautious, longer documents improve confidence, but a positive result should trigger investigation, not automatic punishment.
Yet on the Vergecast, Pangram's advantage is also its vulnerability. The system needs clean human reference text while the post-2022 internet contains more synthetic material. It leans on trusted pre-2022 text and established writers and is training against humanizer tools. The commercial opportunity spans education, publishing, content management, and cleaning expert data for AI companies, but the moat depends on maintaining uncontaminated reference data and staying ahead of evasion.
Now, policy. On the indicator from Planet Money, Pope Leo XIV's encyclical was framed as an echo of Leo XIII's response to industrialization. The earlier Leo rejected state socialism but supported unions, mutual aid associations, improved working conditions, and a living wage. The new analogy is that AI can raise productivity while concentrating ownership, displacing workers, increasing environmental costs, and simulating relationships that weaken human connection.
On the indicator, the call to disarm AI is therefore broader than a technical moratorium. It is a moral demand that deployment serve human dignity and the common good. The immediate policy read-through is likely to be labor, education, data ownership, and environmental accountability rather than a detailed engineering rulebook.
On the A16Z podcast replay, Sachs supplied the opposite regulatory instinct. He argued that model pre-approval, 50-state compliance, chip licensing, and restrictions on energy and permitting favor incumbents and weaken United States competitiveness. He advocated one federal standard, greater domestic power capacity, open-source alternatives, and broader exports to allies. Again, that is the speaker's administration-aligned case, not a verified update on current law.
On TBPN, the geographic stakes became concrete. The host said California lost Saronic S proposed $3.2 billion automated shipyard and roughly 10,000 permanent jobs to Brownsville, Texas, after Texas approved a $211 million tax abatement package, while California S expedited approval legislation stalled.
On TBPN, that is directly relevant to AI and data center policy. Permitting time, power access, tax incentives, and regulatory clarity can decide where strategic compute and manufacturing locate. The middle ground thesis is that durable policy will combine outcome and accountability rules with faster infrastructure permitting and competition between open and closed models.
Let S connect the threads. From Thoughts on the Market, debt is the funding bridge for AI capex. From TBPN, investors are already questioning the return on TSMC's next investment tranche. From the A16Z podcast, power and permitting are binding inputs. The second order effect is that financially strong issuers can pressure other credits and equities through supply and opportunity cost without any increase in default risk.
The proof threshold rises. The next AI dollar must clear a higher market yield, a higher equity hurdle, and a more demanding utilization test. The bullish case is not CapEx is large. The bullish case is that monetization and utilization can grow faster than capital intensity, allowing returns on invested capital to improve despite the build-out. That is also the clean falsifier for today's cautious view.
The data cross-current is just as important. From Latent Space, Lila is trying to generate scarce, experimentally verified training traces. From the Vergecast, Pangram is trying to authenticate human text amid abundant synthetic output. Both systems use active feedback around hard boundary cases. One creates truth, the other tests provenance.
Which suggests a broader AI data stack, proprietary generation, verification, lineage, and auditability may have more durable economics than undifferentiated accumulation. Open distribution does not remove governance. It shifts the question toward who can verify origin, use, and accountability.
And open weights intensify that tension. From TBPN, Inkling expands access while raising questions about training provenance and distillation. From the A16Z podcast, open source is framed as a strategic national asset. From the Indicator, concentrated ownership creates social risk. From the Vergecast, ubiquitous generation creates demand for detection and disclosure. Open versus closed is not the last debate. Provenance is the next one.
Here is what we are watching. From Thoughts on the Market, the next hyperscaler bond deals measure new issue concessions, investor demand, and any widening in comparable secondary spreads. Persistent oversubscription with no spillover would weaken the credit supply concern.
From TBPN, the next TSMC CapEx and utilization updates look for customer commitments, Arizona ramp economics, and evidence that the additional $100 billion of United States investment is backed by profitable demand. Also from TBPN, watch independent Inkling benchmarks, Tinker API usage, licensing, and inference economics.
From Latent Space, watch Lila's independent replication, customer program count, laboratory throughput, model ablation evidence, and the conversion of partner programs into milestone revenue. A technically impressive lab that cannot translate discoveries, scale manufacturing, or produce partner economics has not completed the investment case.
From the Vergecast, watch real-world false positive disclosure, results on humanized output, and access to clean post, 2022 human corpora. Institutions should use detectors as evidence within an auditable process, never as an automatic verdict.
From the Indicator, the A16Z podcast, and TBPN, watch United States infrastructure policy, grid access, permitting lead times, state versus federal rule conflicts, open weight access, and where strategic facilities actually choose to locate. The policy thesis fails if restrictive jurisdictions retain investment with no measurable cost, or if permissive jurisdictions generate harms large enough to force abrupt reversal.
And from capital allocators, monetary matters, and excess returns, keep the portfolio lesson close. Diversify by mechanism, not by label. Pre-commit the invalidation. Size from the loss you can bear. Run the red team before the market does it for you. Uncertainty is permanent. The edge is building a system that survives it.
That is Morning Signal for Thursday, July 16th. AI is still a growth story, but today it is also a financing, infrastructure, and verification story.
We will be back with the next verified window. Until then, watch the returns on the next dollar, not just the size of the announcement.